If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another Football Friday with Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me as always is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. Ready for the weekend, ready to put yesterday's bets behind us and keep it moving.
Yep. Yesterday was a tough one for us as a show, but we'll get to that in a little bit. And back, as always, our resident Eagles fan, our football expert, Connor is joining us. Connor, welcome back.
Football expert. I really like that.
Hey, you've earned the title over the years, so you're stuck with it now.
That sport is my one true love.
Sorry to your wife there, Connor.
But, she knows.
Oh, gosh. Awesome. Well, let's get right into it. Football Friday. So today's topic is going to be all about rookie quarterbacks this year. So the first kind of question or starting off point I think we need to go for is, who do you think will have the best rookie season as a quarterback? Connor, we will go ahead and let you start since I know you've had some time to kind of prepare for this and you kind of know what's going on already.
So I do have the quarterback that I like the most, but not the one who I think is going to be the most successful this year or in the future.
Okay.
I think, and just to give you a preview, last night gave me a preview of who I think is going to be the one to prosper the most in the league, and I think that's going to be Mac Jones. I honestly was not expecting to see a lot from him last night when I heard that Jalen Hurts wasn't going to be in the game. I started to see Mac Jones light up the screen last night. I did not expect him to be as accurate as he was, because he was definitely not one of like the top three that I would hear about going into the draft in this offseason.
Now, are you saying most successful this season or most successful in general?
I think most successful in general, because you have a coach in Bill Belichick and you have such a strong offensive line, probably one of the top five offensive lines in the league, and their defense is going to be really good at giving pressure to the other team to make sure that the offense still has the ball.
I have a feeling that if Mac Jones isn't starting week one, we'll see him starting by like week four or five at the latest.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that was my, he definitely looked amazing, but are we concerned Cam Newton looked even just as good, if not better?
What I was going to say on top of that, I thought Cam Newton looked really well, but not a whole lot of people know who Mac Jones is. And I think he has a lot of growth. He might sit behind, like Patty said, on those first few games, just to sit back and watch how the speed of the game goes and whatnot. But I think he will be starting like before half season.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have two identical quarterbacks, one's a rookie and one's a veteran, you have on a one-year contract, you know it. If it's anywhere close, you almost just want to go with the rookie, right? Get him some game reps, let him see the action, all that other stuff.
Well, I think the other piece is going to be how inconsistent Cam has always been at quarterback. Right. It won't take very many games for one of those bad ones to have everyone chanting that they want Mac Jones in there.
And they're for the most part, they're two very different style of quarterbacks. You know, Cam Newton's typically a more mobile quarterback. Mac Jones definitely isn't. Mac Jones, with how his physical stature is and everything, was drawing comparisons to Tom Brady. So, you know, neither are very active, very mobile. So I'm curious to see how this Patriots offense works, if they're going to be having it tailored more towards Mac Jones or more towards Cam, or maybe even a mix.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But whatever they did last night against your Eagles, Connor, they did pretty well.
Well, we didn't have our starting line out there. Like, you can only give him so much credit, right?
Okay, okay. That's fair. That's fair. I didn't watch any of the game, but...
I watched the first half, and it wasn't good. Flacco did not impress me like he did week one, and it was very upsetting. I had high hopes for him. You got my hopes up, personally.
You're welcome. You're welcome. My elite quarterback, Joe Flacco. But yeah, and I think Mullins threw just as bad in the second half for you guys.
Yeah, his QB rating over 2 weeks is 20.5, is what I saw this morning.
That's over 2 weeks of the preseason, too.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he'll even like make it to this like the actual roster. I wonder if he'll get cut before the season starts.
Oh, there's no way he makes it.
But anyways, Diz, who are you looking at as a rookie quarterback who you think will have the most success this season?
So this might be a hot take. I'm taking this guy because I think he's going to play the most games out of rookie quarterbacks, and I think it's Justin Fields.
What?
Simply put, I think the Patriots win games even with Cam Newton. Cam Newton was probably the worst starting quarterback last season, and the Patriots still won 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
My thought process is if Andy Dalton is horrible, the Bears
Which
are going to start like 0-4.
Yep.
I don't know if the Patriots will start 0-4. My thought is I just think Justin Fields plays more than Mac Jones. I think he's going to have a good career. I don't know. Just specifically this season, I think Justin Fields plays more than Mac Jones, and I think that's a whole nother debate within itself. But I look at rookie quarterbacks, and I don't know who's going to see the field that much other than Justin Fields. Now, Mac Jones surprised me last night, no doubt about it. So I hope he plays, and honestly, I hope he does well. But I think Cam gets the nod, and I think Patriots could go like 9-7, even if Cam does bad, especially if the Bills are running away with the division. I don't know if Belichick's one to rush Mac Jones into the starting role.
So, a couple things. One, I had a feeling you were going to go with Justin Fields. I know the hype around Justin Fields is very high, and it does seem like Andy Dalton will be on a short leash, even if Andy Dalton makes it to the regular season as the actual starter for the Bears. We know Nagy is on a kind of his last leg of his coaching job as the Bears coach, and no better way to save your job than by going with a rookie quarterback. But your thing that you said, you think Justin Fields will play the most as a rookie quarterback, but I think that's absolutely wrong. I mean, you're forgetting the number one overall pick, just Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starter from day one.
I guess Zach Wilson's going to play every game too, isn't he? I really fucked that one up.
Yeah. So maybe not. Maybe you didn't make a whole lot of sense with your whole the most playing time situation, but I do agree with you. I think Justin Fields is going to be a good rookie quarterback.
Shit.
Connor, do you have anything to touch on that?
Shit.
No, I think Justin Fields has a leg up over Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, because what does Trevor Lawrence have around him? Yeah, he is my favorite quarterback out of this class, but he has nothing around him. He has Chark, and that is it.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson is on the Jets. That is enough set.
That's it. That's all we need.
So I don't think their playing time is going to matter too much. And then Trey Lance, of course, I think he's overhyped. So for me, it was honestly between Justin Fields and Mac Jones.
And so now that Connor had mentioned that, that brings me to my point, which is which quarterback has the most tools around him to make him the most successful this season. And I think it is Trey Lance. Now, I think that like I said before, I think the 49ers are a dark horse this season. I think they have playoff potential in them. The thing that worries me with Trey Lance is, one, if Jimmy G shows up, balls out like he can, Trey Lance might not see the field at all this season. So that's number one issue. Number two is I worry about his inconsistency and all of his hype, kind of like Connor mentioned. So week one of the preseason, Trey Lance played, and everyone claimed that Trey Lance balled out. They said he had an amazing game. He had one, like, 80-yard touchdown pass where he probably threw it, you know, 30 to 40 yards, and then the receiver ran the rest of the way because the coverage was terrible. But after that throw, I saw the stats. He was, like, 4 of 13 on the rest of his throws. So I'm a little concerned with that. I think Trey Lance has a lot of upside, and he has the pieces around him. I'm just worried that, at one, he may not play as much, and two, he just may be a little overhyped.
Well, I think between these three that we chose, I do think Fields is definitely going to get the most playing time. It's going to be what he can do with that playing time, I think, will be the determining factor if he can separate from the other two.
Agreed. And if he performs kind of like he did in the first preseason game, I mean, he might burn the city of Chicago down.
Well, they still have Matt Nagy, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of going to be another point as well before I realized I entirely forgot about the number one overall pick. But isn't success kind of a relative thing? I mean, the Bears haven't had a quarterback in my lifetime. Like, if Justin Fields, like, takes him to, like, 8-8, he's like a hero. So, I don't know. I guess the Bears made the playoffs with Trubisky, but I feel like Trubisky's an easier act to follow than, like, Tom Brady or I don't know.
You're right. And that was another thing I was going to maybe bring up, too, is how would we define success? I should have done it before we got into it. You know, do we define it as statistical success? Do we count it as number of wins? You know, I think you have to go with number of wins or maybe even wins above replacement. I don't know if that's even a stat in the NFL.
So my thought process was going to be wins in the team around you. Who's going to have the most success with who's around them?
Mm-hmm.
Teams like the Jets and Jags don't have that, of course. So for me, that was an easy pick on that. As far as their own stats and accuracy, I would want to give it to, I don't know, maybe Justin Fields. I'd probably give it to him just because Trevor Lawrence is going to see a lot of drops or a lot of really good coverage on who he can throw to.
Yep, that all checks out. So do we want to call Football Friday right there? Or do you want to do one more iteration or question?
What question do you have?
Well, I was going to stick with the rookie quarterbacks and just say, who do we think is going to have the most successful career?
Oh, it did start with that one.
I think it's Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones. Mac Jones, just because, like, he's on the Patriots. I feel like he's got the best coach. And I think Lawrence just has the best natural ability, whether he's stuck in the Jaguars or whether, like, he got built something. I think Lawrence has the best natural talent, but I think Mac Jones has the best system. You could argue, like, Trey Lance, like, the 49ers are loaded, but
yeah, no, I don't hate it. All right, Connor, now that you've had some time to he's still going.
Honestly, like, I don't know if he's accurate at all, like Pat kind of mentioned. Justin Fields, Chicago's tough.
This is kind of hitting a dead spot.
Oh, you're good. I hit the dead spot. We'll keep it moving.
All right, Connor, who do you got? Who do you think's going to have the most successful career?
I want to say Trevor Lawrence. I think they can build a lot around him, and they can scrap the entire team and see how he plays this year and just build off of what his abilities are. I think that's what they're waiting to do as well.
Yeah, that could be. Hopefully, you know, Trevor Lawrence goes in there, and they have Urban Meyer, so they have a new head coach too. hopefully they kind of, you know, formulate or sculpt an offense to work out with Trevor Lawrence. You know, we kind of saw that with the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. A lot of people thought Lamar Jackson coming into the league wasn't going to be that great. But if you shift an offense to the talents of your quarterback, you can really let them shine. It should not be, and it always used to be this, but it used to be you would get a player and you would try to make them fit your scheme as opposed to changing your scheme to fit the player. And I think if they adjust the scheme in Jacksonville to fit Trevor Lawrence, I think easily he can have the most success. I mean, he was the number one draft pick. He's been the known number one draft pick for like 3 years now coming out of high school. Everyone knew Trevor Lawrence was going to go number one when he came out. And it's just because he's literally a leg up on everyone else. He's gotten tremendous talent. He's got I think that's a much easier question saying that Trevor Lawrence will probably have the best career out of these rookie quarterbacks.
Right. It's just going to depend if they build around him or not. Otherwise, I give it to Mac Jones hands down.
Yeah. So Jacksonville is a dangerous situation for sure. But I could even see if, you know, these first few years don't go Jacksonville's way and things aren't going well. Maybe Trevor Lawrence walks away after 4 years of his contract and goes to, you know, maybe he goes to Tampa Bay because Tom Brady decided to finally retire. Or maybe he, you know, goes to Green Bay because they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think that he may not necessarily be stuck at Jacksonville for long if Jacksonville doesn't treat him well and kind of try to get him pieces.
Right.
And I believe joining us mid-pod is Rank. Rank, welcome.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy Friday.
Happy Football Friday. So, Rank, you're a little bit late to the conversation, but we'll get your input here. Of the rookie quarterbacks this year, do you have a favorite for who's going to have the best rookie season? That's question number one. Who do you think is going to have the best rookie season of the rookie quarterbacks?
It's a good question. I heard you guys talk about Trevor Lawrence. I can't say with confidence that he's going to be any good just simply because the team around him. Right. How many times have we seen generational talents, their careers are like ruined because how bad their team is and how bad like the organization as a whole is. Jacksonville is, they're no better than the worst.
True.
So yeah, I heard Mac Jones' name thrown around there. I think Justin Fields has a chance too, just because of the defense, and the run game, he has a couple weapons with Kmet and Allen Robinson, right? So
you used Kmet as one of his options.
He's a good tight end.
I didn't even know he was a tight end, so that really shows you how much he's really balling out. But I will say Allen Robinson is a beast, and hopefully for the Bears' sake he stays longer than this year. But so your answer is Justin Fields, you're thinking?
We'll say Justin Fields. Yeah.
Okay. Now the second question, which is where you came in and heard us talking about Trevor Lawrence, was who's going to have the best overall career out of the rookie quarterback?
Cool.
And that's where we were saying Trevor Lawrence, just because he has the most talent, and he can go elsewhere if the Jags don't work out.
Yeah, he could move. Yeah, I don't know. Has that ever happened? Like a number one pick just going, been so fed up with his organization? I can't think of a...
Yeah, I'd have to do some more research on that. But I think usually they stay for like another contract, but then sometimes that's when they leave, is after that second contract.
Yeah.
But times are changing, man. You know, who knows if, you know, maybe we'll see a lot more movement. We've seen a lot more movement of late with just quarterbacks in general. So maybe, you know, maybe this is kind of starting to change the tide a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Well, I know a number two quarterback that left the Philadelphia Eagles.
But he was under, he was on his second contract, wasn't he? Like, he wasn't still on his rookie deal. Yeah,
he didn't finish his five-year rookie deal. Okay. Yeah, he got paid early. So I guess, yeah. But within his first 5 years.
Yeah.
Hey, Rank.
I got you.
Rank, who do you think's going to play more this season between Justin Fields and Mac Jones?
Justin Fields, for sure. I mean, I think Cam Newton's a viable first option. I don't think Andy Dalton is.
Yeah, poor Red Rifle, man. He's I love, though, he keeps talking mad trash to all the reporters. He's like, all this Justin Fields hype is fine, but this is my team. This is now.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's going out in a hail of gunfire.
Hell yeah, baby.
Love to hear that, but I just I watched the preseason game, at least the first half of it. And when Justin Fields came in, there was just an energy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Justin Fields, too, isn't your stereotypical, like, rookie quarterback, like, stays in the pocket and just kind of unleashes it. He's more of, like, a loose cannon, like, can roll out, make plays with his feet, but also can throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking how, you know, the Bears have never really had a quarterback in our lifetime. But also, all of those quarterbacks, none of them were athletic whatsoever. So, okay. I can sense the urgency, the electricity, and if the Red Rifle does not perform right away, he may be seeing the bench for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if he has one bad drive, those fans are going to boo him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nagy's coaching for his job. I mean, there's just no other way around it. And what easier way to get to keep your job than to bring in a rookie quarterback?
Yeah.
Connor, did
you? I don't have an answer to your stuff.
That's fine.
Sorry, I don't have an answer to that second one.
It's tough. You know, we don't want to give you all, like, you know, easy questions that people can hit out of the park and know the answer to. We just would like to have good. Deep discussions. But I thought maybe Connor needed to say something. He unmuted his mic momentarily.
No. I was just really engaged and focused in the conversation. I didn't feel I needed to jump in at all. It was really good.
Nice. And one little tidbit before we move on from Football Friday, and I just want to bring this up. But, you know, we're talking all about the Patriots and how it's a great team, great system. They got the best coach of all time. But what if Bill Belichick goes and retires in the next 2 years? Does that affect Mac Jones's career and how successful he could be?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, 100%. But I think Belichick will coach till he dies.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
You don't think he will?
If he dies in like 5 years, like, yeah, he's fucked. But I think Belichick's going to coach. Until he dies, 100%.
Do you think, though, that even if they say, all right, Josh McDaniels, here's the reins for the head coach, do you think the offense and everything will change that much than when Bill was there?
I think it will. I think there's a certain energy that Bill brings. That's why you don't see any of his other coaches that go elsewhere. They don't bring that same kind of presence wherever and be successful with it.
Yeah, and with a new coach, even from Bill's coaching tree, you know, a lot of times they say, you know, they try to bring the Patriot way elsewhere, but if you're a rookie coach, you're not getting the buy-in and the commitment than if you sign with the Patriots and you got Bill Belichick under the helm. And I think even if everything stays the same and Josh McDaniels is the new coach, you don't get that same buy-in. All right, well, that was a very good Football Friday discussion, boys. Appreciate you guys for joining. Let's move on. Let's review our best bets from yesterday. It's kind of a sour note, but Diz, how'd you do yesterday?
I went 0-2. Not good. I hadn't lost a best bet in 2 weeks, and then I lose 3 in a row, so not great. But bouncing back. I will preface, I have one best bet tonight, and if it doesn't hit, I'm boned.
Well, I love to hear that, considering we're in a competition, but as a friend, a co-host, and a bet together, win together guy, let's hope that that does not happen.
Brother, too, maybe? I was waiting for you to say that.
You're my brother! I went 1-2 last night. Again, not great. Losing night for me. We had a rough day yesterday as a show, but that is gambling. You know, once you get super confident, a big loss is coming down the road to just humble you. And that kind of happened last night. But we're bouncing back tonight in a big way. In the Best Bets competition, I am up 7.88 units, and Diz is up 3.85 units. So like he said, he's got one for all the marbles tonight. If it doesn't hit, he might be done for, and I might be getting that free dinner from your boy. So, anyways, let's move on to our best bets for the night, Diz. I got three of them, as always, in the MLB. First one, Braves, first five, -1.5 versus the Orioles. Both teams are pitching lefties. Freed is going for the Braves. He has a 3.78 ERA with a 3.90 expected, and he has a 3.29 ERA without the spider tack. Aiken is going for the Orioles. Now, let me tell you about this guy Aiken, Diz. 8.13 ERA on the season with a 5.59 expected, but he has a 10.55 ERA without spider tack.
Oh.
So in the last 2 months of this season, he has given up an average of 10.5 runs per 9 innings pitched. That is not something you want to see as a pitcher. And then to add on top of that, he's going up against the third best hitting team against left-handed pitching tonight. Lefties decently well, but not as well as the Braves. And then the icing on the cake here. Is the Braves games. The Orioles are garbage. They've lost 15 straight, 14 have been by more than one run, and I believe I saw this the other day on SportsCenter, but they are the only team, or they are like one of three teams since 1900 to have two losing streaks of 14 games or higher in the same season.
Yikes.
If you're looking for the worst team in baseball, it's the Baltimore Orioles. So give me Braves first five -1.5. My next one, and Diz kind of helped me out with this one. I'm going Athletics first five money line versus the Giants. Now, Lefty Wood is going for the Giants. He has a 4.14 ERA with a 4.04 expected, a 4.20 ERA without spider tack, and a 4.35 ERA away from home. So he's worse at away than he is at home. Righty Caprielian, I can never say his name, but he's really good. He's going for the Athletics. 3.33 ERA with a 3.95 expected, and a 3.74 ERA without the spider tack, but he has a 1.42 ERA at home. He is significantly better at home. The Athletics have the clear pitching advantage. The Athletics are 10th in hitting lefties. Giants are 9th against righties. But what do I always say, Diz? If I have to choose between a pitching advantage and a hitting advantage, I'm going with pitching every single day of the week. Give me the pitching advantage. Give me the Athletics first five money line at plus value.
Love that value, baby.
And then my final best bet of the night, I'm going Dodgers full game -1.5 runs versus the New York Mets. Both teams are pitching righties in this matchup. Carlos Carrasco is pitching for the Mets. He has a 10.32 ERA with a 5.74 expected. Now, he has a 10.32 ERA without the spider tack, but that's just because he's only pitched like three or four games this season. And that's why his expected is so different than his actual ERA. It's because, you know, small sample size, but still. Walker Buehler is pitching for the Dodgers. I don't know if you guys know who Walker Buehler is, but he has a 2.09 ERA this season with a 3.04 expected and a 1.69 ERA without spider tech. Now, to add on top of that, the Mets are 25th in hitting right-handed pitching, whereas the Dodgers are actually third. So Dodgers minus 1.5 to wrap up my best bets, and let's go with a 3-0 night to get our profitable weekend started. What do we say?
Yes, sir.
All right, Diz. It's moment of truth. Let me hear this bomb that you have as your one best bet of the day.
So I would just like to say the Martingale has been good to me.
Oh, no. I know what you're saying now. Go ahead. Sorry.
I am venturing into new territory tonight. I have never lost two Martingale bets in a row. But I have now lost two Martingale bets in a row. I have a $20 Martingale tonight. I need both the Red Sox and the Yankees to win outright. If that hits, I win $30, and those first two losses mean nothing. If I lose, I got one more to go, or else I lose it all. So I got one best bet, $20 to win $30. I really don't want to stop doing Martingales because I love Martingales. I guess we'll find out here soon.
That's hilarious. And yeah, we're getting into the danger zone. Diz has never come this close to losing a Martingale theory. But he knows when to stop, like every good gambler should. If you need help, call 1-800-GAMBLER today. For the record, Diz, I do think both Boston and New York win. I have them both in my Hail Mary parlay of the day.
Oh, Christ. That's not what I want to hear.
Oh, come on! Come on. You're in good hands. You're in Patty's hands now, baby. It is Friday. We do have some celebs on here. Connor's not a gambling man. He's just a football expert. But Rank, you know, we have a full slate of footy this weekend. Do you have any footy picks for us or any picks in general that you'd like to share with the pod?
You read my mind, Patty. But first, I'll take Stem's side. And I really hate Jordan Spieth now. How dare he?
I think
he conspired with FanDuel. He probably got half of the winnings or something just to bogey the 18th hole. And now he's, what, 8 under through the day? I hate Jordan Spieth. I hope he loses a major in a terrible, terrible way. That's the only way he can earn my respect back after the shenanigans he pulled yesterday.
Real quick before you move on, let me throw a few things out there. Now, first off, you are definitely not in the minority with people hating Jordan Spieth.
Well, I used to like him until yesterday.
Right.
That's the issue.
Now the question is, how much did you put on Jordan Spieth on that boost?
I put $10 down.
That's it, and you still hate him because you lost $10, which,
dude, it's not losing $10. Think of $10 like a Chipotle meal or something like that, and then that's really what gets my gears grinding.
Hey, I'm the king of eating out, and I have never once looked at a bet like that. But
imagine how much better you'd be, Pat, if you thought of it as a McDonald's meal. You'd probably be undefeated.
That's hilarious. Maybe it's something I need to work on. But second off, FanDuel refunded all of those people that bet that boost yesterday. So Jordan Spieth technically did not lose you money. And
wait, what?
FanDuel is not in cahoots with Jordan Spieth.
You want to tell me that before I do another Martingale?
What?
We could have restarted if I got my money back. Oh, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true at all.
Damn it.
Wait, why is that not true? Can't he just wait on another Martingale?
Because I only got my investment back. I didn't get the winnings.
Now, technically, he could
place I should have done another $5 bet. Yeah,
well, $10,
done
right?
It would have been... Well, I just would have restarted. It would have been a $5 bet.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
But anyways, enough George.
I didn't know he was 8 under today. That really hurts that he's 8 under today. But I still don't think I hate him. Because I'm going to cash this Yankees-Red Sox tonight. We're going to keep it moving.
Cha-ching. All right. Well, sorry for that side note. To my best bet. What?
Glad you took it with me.
Yeah, of course. It was, I thought in my head at least, it was free money. But
well, to me, it was one of those bets that seemed too good to be true, like we mentioned yesterday's episode. So that's why I stayed away from it. But
good for you, Patty. My best bet for this weekend, as you mentioned, is we're gonna venture across the pond to Spain, do a parlay, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid, at even money. So put whatever you want on that. I think it'll hit. And then what you're going to do with the winnings is on Monday, you're going to take those winnings and place them on Sevilla to beat Getafe at +125. So let's just play this out here. Put $5 to win $5 on Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Turn right around the next day. Place that $5 on Sevilla. You win 10. I'm sorry. You win another 5, so you're 10 up in total, and that's a Chipotle meal. So do that combination, that sequence, and enjoy your chicken bowl with guac.
There you have it. Even with guac, look at you.
I think it would cover it, yeah.
If it doesn't, I want my money back. But that is interesting because I will count that as two celeb bets. And if you hit those, then that would put you in commanding lead of the celeb bet competition to win some free merch from us August is over. So,
wow.
Look out.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hey, we got some fire merch out there. If you haven't seen it, sportsbettingbydummies.com. You can check out our merch on there. Diz has an awesome bet together, win together sweatshirt. So hopefully he'll model that for us sometime soon. I've got a bunch of Sports Betting by Dummies merch. I've got some Patty Parlay's merch on there. It's great stuff. You should check it out. And I believe you can get masks on there too. If we're going to start seeing more masks around, you can get a mask with my face on it.
God.
I mean,
I think I'd rather have COVID. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, Connor, don't laugh at that. That was a low blow. I'm sorry. That was a low blow.
All right. Hail Mary parlay of the daytime, boys. You know how this all works. We go around the room. We guess the value of the Hail Mary parlay of the day. Connor may have already seen the value, but just in case, let's see. Connor, what do you got?
I already saw it.
Okay, that's fine. You plead the fifth. We get it. All right.
I'm sorry. I upset you all.
Yeah, how dare you? You come on this show. Also, Rank gave us his picks and then just peaced out. So, see you, Rank. Good talking with you. Good picks.
Here for a good time, not a long time. I'm guessing $1 to win 803.
Okay. The correct answer is whatever Connor was going to say. $1 to win $649.27. We're all in the MLB tonight. So we got Braves first five -1.5 versus the Orioles. Yankees first five -1.5 versus the Twins. Red Sox first five -1.5 versus the Rangers. White Sox first five -0.5 run versus the Rays. I can't believe I did this. Even just looking at this again frustrates me, but I'm going the Astros -1.5 full game versus Seattle Mariners. The Astros have been absolutely terrible to me this past week, but they're the better team in this situation. I just can't go away from my stats. It's just happening. Cardinals first five -0.5 run versus the Pirates. Diamondbacks and Rockies first five under 6.5 runs. Oakland first five money line versus the Giants. Dodgers -1.5 full game versus the Mets, and then Padres full game -1.5 versus the Phillies. All right, gentlemen. Do you guys have anything you want to get off your chest? We'll start with Connor. Connor, anything you want to get off your chest and send these people off into a wonderful weekend?
Absolutely. So I want to say football is my one true love in sports, but I do recall you coming to me yesterday and saying, I don't know why I keep coming back to the Astros. They keep breaking my heart, and yet I keep betting all my money on them. What are you thinking? What are you doing? You're crawling right back to them.
I know. I know.
The Astros are Pat's booty call that he can't just stop texting at 11:30 on a Friday night.
They're my guilty pleasure. I mean, the fact of the matter is they still lead their division, and they've been good to me all season. But the Mariners have even been better to me all season, and I just could not go anywhere else other than the Astros. And I swear, this is going to come back to bite me in the ass. It's going to be the one I lose on the Hail Mary parlay of the day, and I'll have nothing but myself to blame. But thank you for sharing that with the people, Connor. I appreciate it. You got to keep me honest sometimes.
I mean, you're just, right now, it's like you're at the bar at 2 in the morning calling them up 5 or 6 times saying, I want you back.
Just going straight to voicemail every time. But... Oh, gosh. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to need you guys to help me go on this intervention. If the Astros lose tonight, if they don't cover the 1.5 runs, then you guys have to keep me honest and let me know that the Astros have to be on the do not bet list and at least until the playoffs start.
You can't do for or against. We don't want to hear the Astros.
Yeah. Oh, or against? I can't go against the Astros?
No, none of the above. We don't want to hear you mention it. You can't dip your toe in that water and start talking about it.
I can't get close enough to the Astros to where I could possibly go one way or the other. Okay. It's an intervention. I need help. Is anything you want to get off your chest?
I really wanted to bet on the Bills to beat the Bears because Trubisky's playing, and I really want a Trubisky revenge tour. But I didn't do it. I might later. Definitely not a best bet, so didn't want to throw it in the best bet. But might just be fun couple drives to watch, so maybe do a little Bills first quarter action or something. I don't know. Just something to think about, something to watch, and really hope Trubisky balls out against the Bears. That would just make my roommate so shitty.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, alrighty. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SportsBetByDumb. You can check out, you can find picks on there. You can find podcast episodes on there. You can find all kinds of stuff. Check out our website, sportsbettingbydummies.com. You can find podcast episodes on there, our Twitter feed, and our merch website. We're going to keep growing this thing. We're taking this thing to the moon. I'm glad you guys are here with us, coming with us. Hope everyone has a nice, long, profitable weekend, and we will see you all on Monday.